Well, it probably was about 30 or 40 minutes ago that I asked you if you're reading the Gothas. I'm still trying to get to that part. I've gone through the teachings that Murshid gave us on the breath, and I've just sort of, I'm not reading the whole thing. I've picked out pieces because I'm just trying to give you the pithy instructions, you might say. This is from Gatha 1. Gatha, does anyone know the meaning of Gatha? By the way, it comes from the Zoroastrian tradition, which is critical that you understand also that this impulse of the message was coming through that tradition.
Is it teaching or wisdom?
Song, perhaps?
Song or verse.
Song.
Verse. Also, it's translated as verse.
It's in Sanskrit, it's Gita.
Yeah. But his transmission, although he was so influenced, his real inclination was from the Vedic tradition and the Zoroastrian tradition. You should know that. We don't always know that. If you read deeply, you'll see that in his teachings, and you will also know historically that that is true. The brown volumes reveal that a lot. Was that
birds?
A...
Two little hummingbirds.
They're all right.
They were sweet.
The dress. Oh, you know, I'm glad I even put this down to the red. I didn't know. Okay. It is difficult to define breath in a few words. Breath is the very life in beings, and what holds all the particles of the body together is the power of the breath. And when this power becomes less, then the will loses control over the body. Just the first line, look at how amazing that is. You know, when we go, blah, 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 that's interesting. Next. You know what I mean? Man, just that one line, if we study that. Yes, I will. It is difficult to define the breath in a few words. Breath is the very life in beings, and what holds all the particles of the body together is the power of the breath. Think just that much, you understand how the mystics, we hear about these mystics bilocating, manifesting miracles. Anyone read those stories by Nin Karoli Baba or other Jesus? How? The breath. They knew how to scatter their particles, and they also knew how to draw particles up and create something. You understand what he's saying there? Just in that one statement. It's incredible. We could stop there and study that for the rest of our lives.
Read it one more time.
And yes.
3 times will do that.
And I'll read the whole thing. Yes. Breath is the very life in beings, and what holds all the particles of the body together is the power of the breath. And when this breath becomes less than the will, becomes less, then the will loses control over the body. So we must always be aware of the breath he's teaching us here. When we lose control of that, everything else can start to come into dysfunction. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Read that second phrase again.
And when this power becomes less, then the will loses control over the body. So in a way, he's saying, yes, we have to, in our practices, and also we have to will, we have to tether the mind. We use our will. We don't use our will to overpower other people. We use the will to control this and the breath. As the power of the sun holds all the planets, so the power of the breath holds every organ. Besides this, The breath purifies the body by taking in new and fresh life and giving out all the gases that should be put out. And you know when you wake up in the morning, if you feel a little foggy or you feel almost like when you start to become real aware of your breath, you'll know that things are feel congested. It's like almost those channels of the breath, you can feel it. And that's why the yogis do these postures with the breath very strongly to clear those channels out and to bring fresh life in. I mean, really, the first thing one should do is sit up in the bed. And Rashida Vera always used to tell us to do this and even to push on our stomach. She used to say, take a deep breath in, and then, and we can do it together. And you'll feel differently afterwards. You take a deep breath in, and you push the breath out. And this was her instruction. She'd go, and you cough and you get it all out and you clear. And you may find that it'll clear other things out. So people might cough or feel something going on. Or, you know, if you have to belch or make a little, it's okay. The gas is moving. It's all right. Okay, so we breathe. Well, it happens. It would be difficult in translation. She could say, Nuri, you did onomatopoeia. Fart. Okay, so we're going to take another breath in. Natural breath in. You'll feel different. I mean, you'll feel more fresh. Do you feel kind of enlivened? Can you feel it in your body a little bit? You're heating up. Yeah, yeah. Well, this is, you know, everyone, oh, what are those Tibetan monks? You know, everyone thinks there's a great mystery to Tummo. You know how they can sit in the snow and it melts? This is it, folks. No great mystery. The secret's out. Let's do it one more time. No, they are very, what happens in Tummo is they're very, you know, we talk so much. We don't realize how the air on our teeth cools our body down. If you want to stay warm outside, one thing is keep your mouth shut. You know, why do you think they say silence is golden? But there's so much to learn from that. But at any rate, and then they do a very, concentrating on the solar plexus. The breath is very slow and deliberate, concentrating in this area, allowing it to expand and actually stay loose even on, not purposefully, but it would be like this. I'll show you. So, and this is a traditional meditation practice as well. So you breathe out. I'm breathing in. I'm letting the stomach stay really relaxed and open. And I'm breathing out. But the stomach's still out. I'm not pushing it out. It's naturally staying out. And then I feel it again. It's called the pot belly. It really is. That's how it's pot belly. Pot belly meditation is sort of the traditional term for it. So, and you concentrate, because this is where all the nerve ganglia of the body pass through this area. And if you think about it, it's really an incentive, you know, even in yoga and also in Anant Khan's teachings, he says until this center is open, the doorways of inner perception will not be unlocked. This is the doorway to that inner perception.
The nadis,
yeah. And so this center is also, think about it, it's the umbilical cord. You know, this was the thing that connected us to our mothers, and we gained our sustenance through that.
Also the center of our physical gravity.
It is. It absolutely is. So it's an essential center to relax in it. And unfortunately, we, you know, sometimes when we're shocked or scared, that's one of the first places, you know, that and around the heart, they tense up, you know.
You know, I just learned this week that was new to me that the umbilicus carries ligaments to all of the organs.
Absolutely.
And I didn't realize that.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It does. And it does in that, you know, they're very, they do a lot of practices to... So important, yeah, to keep try to relax that area and let it be loose. And it's unfortunate that, you know, I mean, if you look at it, you know, what do? We girdle women, you know, suck it up, suck it in. And it also is the area where we have the tendency to put weight around. It's like if that center isn't, like, really open, then we kind of protect it with excess body mass. Any other questions?
So to kind of summarize the Tibetan tumo practice, the breath is being used to stimulate those ganglia. Is that what you're saying?
And it will heat up the body.
But it's more than just a physical thing that's happening. There's also, once you get those things stimulated, there's a bringing in of a kind of a light that doesn't matter if it's cold.
Yeah, and I think that actually the light, I don't know, I guess it maybe does come in, but I think it also emerges from within, you know.
Yeah. You remember you were there, so you know I had that sort of tumo experience at a camp following the gong practice that we did. You recall that, right? Where the sound evoked it. And can you, I don't know, I'd be interested to hear an hour later sort of how, you know, how the sound worked to bring the same effect that breath works to bring.
Anyone know, based on what we just talked about today, how does sound and breath connect?
Those are both vibrations.
Vibration. Yeah, vibration.
Oh, yeah. The bathroom is right here.
Yeah, that's very good. Thank you so much. I always do that, too. I'm like, there's one up there, there's one in there, there's one in there. Yeah. Is everyone okay, though, if I continue? Yeah? The breath, in its different aspects, acts differently. The breath in its different aspects acts differently. In every direction, the breath does a special work. Just that line, can you tell me what that is relating to right there? What's he starting to indicate to us?
What was before the comma?
The breath in its different aspects acts differently. In every direction, the breath has a special work.
The inhale and exhale do different things.
They do, and
the elements too.
The elements, because they move in a different direction, right? So I'm not going to teach the elemental breath just yet. I want to teach the purification breaths in the way Hazrat and Icon taught them, and. Is that all right? Because they also move in those similar directions. I'll read a little bit further, and then when everyone's here, we'll... Majita, did you want to sit back there? Listen to this. Every movement that one makes is directed by the power of the breath. At the same time, the breath alone has the power to stop any motion. For instance, walking, running, sitting, and standing are actions done by the breath, and trembling, shivering, or waving the hands and feet without control show lack of the power of the breath. So... You know, what's going on there? All this energy. You know, or, you know, you see people You know, that's part of that.
You do really well.
Do I?
But what about involuntary versus voluntary? You're talking about
what would be involuntary? Oh, a shiver. Yeah. Well,
so
again, well, it's relating just to what these questions of tummo, the fire. You know, creating a warmth in the body. You know, if one knows it's cold outside, one can say, okay, I need to prepare for that, and I can use my breath to kind of keep a balance in the body. You see what I'm saying?
Okay. I'm also wondering, though, about a situation where fear, fright.
Yes, well, of course, that's also part of it.
That, again, would be involuntary. You wouldn't be able to prepare for that.
Well, may I offer you a story? And some people have heard this before. I'd like to. I was on the subway in New York. I had been invited through my profession to offer a paper there at a conference. And I was with one of my colleagues. And we got into an area that there weren't many other passengers. And at one point, we were the passengers, and there was a man. And I was concentrating on, I got this inward sound, you know, it was like an intuition. It was like, you need to watch the breath. And I thought, I'm not going to give him, I'm going to acknowledge his presence, but I'm not going to give a lot of attention to this. And we stood up to get out of the car at the subway, and he waited for us to get out, and then he followed us. And all the time I thought, I'm not going to react, but I'm watching my breath. This is a situation where fear could have arisen if I was surprised, you see. So I'm walking, and he comes up behind me and grabs me like this. You know, like, I'm like this. And instead of going, you know, I went completely still. This is the teaching Mershit gives it also of the cobra. You know? Well, he didn't know what to do because he was expecting me to frail and scream and react. So I did like this. And then I went. I filled up with the breath. And he just, you know, what a surprise, right? I filled up with the breath. And then I went, ha! And he let go and he fell backwards. And then I turned around and I said, stop! Don't you move towards us. And I grabbed my friend's arm and she's going, whoa! I mean, she was the one. It's Patty. People that know Patty. It was like, oh my God, the fire's coming out of the top of your head. You know, it's like, and I said, shut up, Patty. And I grabbed her arm. And we went up the stairs and he started to follow us. And I turned around and I said, I told you to stop and don't you follow us. And you know what? He did. And we went up and we got in a store and that was the end of it. But I knew I could have been very surprised by that. And it could have been a really bad scene because we were alone in that subway with that man. And, you know, I'm not so big. You know, he was a lot bigger than I was. But that, to me, was that's the power of the breath.
I have a similar story. I opened my eyes from a meditation and discovered I was looking into the face of a bear.
That's fantastic. And
the mind went flipping through the catalog looking for the appropriate response, and there wasn't one.
Yeah.
And I guess I had stopped breathing, mostly, because when I decided what I should probably do was maybe stand up and start to move inside a building, I exhaled, and just exhaling startled the bear. It jumped up on its hind legs, turned, and ran away. Just exhaling,
right.
And it was gone.
Well, and they say that you can also do that with unwanted circumstances, that the power of that exhale can clear it away. It makes sense to people.
I'm reminded of a story, and you can improve on this. It's your story.
Oh, is it? Okay.
But you were with Rashid O'Meara, and you were needing to catch a flight, and you can.
I don't even remember this.
Okay,
was it Rashida Vera or
Karuna
Mai? Okay,
anyway, I don't know, but it was very important that you caught this fly, and you were told if we don't use our breath, we are not going to get out of this airport. So it's always there.
Well, I remember one time traveling in India with Karuna Mai with a group of women, and I remember there was a difficulty which frequently will arise, you know, like they want to play games with passports and baggage and get money and, you know, and Karunaji said to the ladies and myself, she said, do not react. We need to unify in our breath. It is only through unity that we can accomplish what we want to accomplish. Was that helpful?
Yes, I guess I'm still skeptical, quite honestly.
Well, that's okay. But you know what? Practice
because I think
it.
About children.
Mm-hmm.
Because I work with children.
Yes.
And when you work with children and you see they don't have the power of breath, they're not conscious enough yet.
Isn't it
a
shame we're not teaching it to children?
And I wonder some of the connections of things, because I know that Montessori, I'm a Montessori teacher,
yes.
And she studied
yes.
with the Dalai Lama for 7 years while she was exiled, and learned a lot and brought a lot back to the children.
Yes, yes.
And so you do, in some Montessori schools, you do see yoga practices.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You do see, you know, a lot of different mm-hmm. things. And I think about, though, those children that are abused.
Yes.
And because of that, the fear, that's what I was asking,
mm-hmm.
because you don't have that ability to then stop as a child and go, well, I think I'll breathe through this one.
No, that's very
yeah.
true.
So that's where my skepticism
But that's
comes
where,
in.
If you are working with children like that, that's where you can offer your help.
Yes.
Because I also very strongly, Murshid never really called it karma, but he did talk about cause and effect. And so, and he never really spoke directly to rebirth or reincarnation, but there are indications in his teachings that he had a, sort of that feeling that the soul does migrate. And if that is true, then there are impressions there that get worked out from lifetime to lifetime. So we cannot say that that child that's getting abused, I know it may sound crazy to some of you, and I'm very sorry about it, but it is, in fact, I think it's true, that the reason we can't understand some things is because our perspective isn't very clear. We're only thinking of this lifetime. But if we think of things as a continuation and vibrations that are traveling, maybe something is occurring in that child's life. Not so much, you know, if we change our view, maybe it's actually a purification that they're moving through some karmic imprint that needed to arise from some past deed of their own. And that's not blaming anybody. It's just, it's kind of the way things are in my view, and it has been my experience. And and we can't say. I mean, I can't, won't tell you about my own personal experiences, but I can tell you there are many things that brought me to this path because of many circumstances in the past that if I would have let them become how I lived my life, I would have been a very broken person. And in fact, what I found that all of those things that were terrifying, really terrifying, mm-hmm. As a daily part of life, have absolutely no power over me now. And what's more is I'm grateful because now I have a sympathy towards people that do that, and I can stand before them and say, you can, if it is your wish, you can rise above this.
I also remember at camp you saying that a lot of times if you're at the end of a karmic cycle, a lot of chaos comes into your life. It's at the end of a purification.
Yeah. Did that help?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you don't have to say, I'm breathing, I'm doing anything. You just breathe. And it, you're another place in these teachings, we may come to it, but Mersha talks about people as notes on the piano. And he says, it isn't the fault of one note that it doesn't harmonize with the other note. It's just the way it is. But he said, of the person that has risen above the limitations of this identity with a specific note, I'm this way, da 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 da, you know, that they, really, think about it, that they become the keynote. And the keynote is the note in which all the other notes harmonize. And it's like, you know, you've been at the great concerts, and it's like, and the violinist, and everyone starts to tune. That's what it is. And you work on your instrument, and then just by doing that, you can work with the children and use your breath to help them. I think parents do that intuitively when a child's very upset. You know, they hold them and they breathe, you know, or rock them. They establish a different rhythm.
Some do, some don't.
Yeah, some do, some don't. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Doesn't it seem we just don't know how powerful our breath is? When I was starting, when I was a teenager, I studied Aikido. And it's the breath from here.
Yes,
you did Aikido that time with that. Just from your intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that one time when
someone
was lurking in the shadow and I knew to pass by there. I knew Aikido, so I gathered my breath here. And when this person came out, I couldn't get around. I had a narrow place. When this person, this man, in the dark, came up, then I threw the breath. He started to go, ah, you know, and I had it all gathered, really strong here, and we learned to project our
breath.
Yes,
that's right.
You use your hand, and as soon as he's kind of stepped out and reached me, I can't even do it because it would kind of might be explosive. I just, what? No, and threw all that breath at him, and he just fell back.
Yeah, same.
And like we just don't even realize. They teach in Aikido, a baby's has very powerful breath. Have you ever had a baby hold?
Yeah.
And you can't peel those tiny
fingers. Yes, that's right.
Yeah. They have just power. They're tiny fingers, but you cannot, because they have that power of the breath. They have just naturally, and we lose that. We have such power in us.
Okay, one more story like that. The only time as an adult I ever got into somebody hitting me, I practiced Tai Chi, and I won't go into the story of what happened, but this guy hit me, and it's so discontinuous from my everyday experience that the first hit, I just looked at him and said, my glasses went flying off, my face is bleeding, I said, hope you're ready to pay for those glasses. And he hit me again. And then the chi, the breath, just rose up my spine, and I walked over to him and got kind of looked at him right in the eyes and said, if I were you, I would leave now. And he looked at me and left. So I didn't have to throw a punch or anything.
So, the breath in its different aspects acts differently. In every direction, the breath does a special work. The breath has a special work for every organ of the body, and it has its particular influence upon every element which is of the physical, of which the physical body consists. So this is... we will do the elemental breaths, but first I'd like to offer the purification breaths as Hazrat Anayat Khan gave them. And first I will talk about the phrase that was given. The phrase breathing in is, I inhale divine light and life, and breathing out, I radiate the same. Have you done it that way, Hakima? This is from Hazrat Anayat Khan's instructions. And so one breathes in. I inhale divine life and light, and I radiate the same.
So it's a shorter exhale than it is an inhale?
You just continue with the breath and you let there be a gap. The typical breathing pattern is in 4, out 6. That's what's prescribed. Yeah, in 4, out 6. Yeah.
So breathing out is I radiate the same.
And I radiate the same. And the practice is done standing.
This is through good.
Yes, we'll go through a pattern of in the, I'll tell you, it's like the elemental breath, concentration is different. Wow! Show there, ooh la la!
Before you begin, can I ask a question? Because I may have been doing it wrong.
Yes.
Is it, I inhale divine light and life, or is it life and light? Is the order?
Life and light.
I've been saying I inhale divine light and life.
I think it's life and light, but you know what? It kind of almost, I mean,
yeah,
I can look here. I have those notes right here. Let me check.
And is it the brown or the orange that you're working from?
I'm actually working from a PDF file. Let me see if I have it here. It might be in another folder. Oh, here it is. Light and life. Light and life. I radiate the same. And I will read these instructions, because these are Mersh's instructions. How about that? There are 20 purification breaths, and they consist of 4 times in 5 inhalations and exhalations. And let's sit down for a minute, and then we'll do them. Let me give you the instructions of Murshid. It's best just to get his words. You know, it's 11:45. I mean, we're almost... But I think I want to get through this piece. Is that okay? He says that it is best to do this before breakfast and standing in a relaxed position, preferably before an open air, you know, before in the air or before an open window. And I have to say, even in the middle of winter, when Aziza and Hidayat were with us in December, January, there's snow and ice on the ground. And I go into that room and all of the windows are open. So they're doing their practices. He says that the feet are stable on the ground, and the knees and the shoulders and the neck and the jaw are loose. You know, a lot of times, you know, it's like that's all very relaxed. In another section in the teachings for the Shafiyats, it's about the eyes. When the eyes are relaxed, the whole nervous system will follow. Relaxing the eyes. But this says inhalations and exhalations are done in a rhythmically in a restful, quiet manner, slower than the usual breath, yet quite full, while inhaling and exhaling, one's thoughts are focused on receiving. Just you could kind of close your eyes and listen to Mershit's instructions and thinking about this. As while inhaling and exhaling, one's thoughts are focused on receiving and radiating the divine power in space. That one focuses on receiving and radiating the divine power in space, which purifies and revivifies, and which inspires and enables the soul to unfold. Wow, I wish someone had told me that. do you know what I'm saying? And she's like, well, just do the breaths. This is what everyone does. It's one of the base practices an icon gave.
Can you read that last one?
Is it just incredible? Totally. Does I mean, look, goosebumps. It's just so beautiful. Does everyone feel the preciousness?
Yeah.
I mean, even if we just do this much today, it's enough to take us everywhere we need to be. So, while inhaling and exhaling, one's thoughts are focused on receiving and radiating. So while we breathe in, this is tonglen that the Tibetan Buddhists do. We receive and then radiating divine power in space, which purifies and revivifies, and which inspires and enables the soul to unfold. It's beautiful, isn't it? The thought to be kept constantly in the mind is the following one. In Piero Murshid's own words, while inhaling, I inhale divine light and life. While exhaling, I radiate the same. Hasaradana Icon further says, if one is ill or feeling weak, so some people are infirm and they can't quite stand, although one could say, if one does this breath, eventually they will get up. It will make them well and balance them. And there are examples of that from his life that students did recover from great illnesses. But if one is ill or feeling weak, this exercise can be done sitting or even lying down. In the case of delicate breathing organs or of any other internal problem, or if required for the purpose of improving health, this practice is done twice a day, morning and evening, or even three times a day if necessary. So if you have someone that has asthma or allergies or, you know, those kinds of things, or a problem breathing, a kind of emphysema or something like this, you can offer this practice to help.
Sort of obvious, but this is also incorporated in the healing prayer, you know, through the altar radiant life and space.
Yes, it is, isn't it? And that's the next step. We'll do that practice because that's part of this. Now listen to this phrase. This is from the archives paper. The exercise is the basis of many esoteric practices and should be mastered. Air, you can understand further the mysteries. Just that practice, he says. The exercise is the basis of many esoteric exercises and should be mastered ere you can understand further mysteries. He's telling us this is the key. I'm giving you the key. How extraordinary is that? Isn't it?
The word okay. Air means before.
Before.
Mm-hmm.
Before. So the first five breaths are in the nose, out the nose. It is the same as the earth breath. Concentration is different. Remember, we are breathing in divine light and life, and we're radiating the same, but we're considering that we're breathing in, you know, this incredible divine life and life. And then as we radiate the divine power in space. Listen, this is important for you. You're radiating the divine power in space, which purifies and revivifies, and which inspires and enables the soul to unfold. Not only ours, I believe, but we offer this to others as well. So in the nose and out the nose. And the direction, of course, there's not a direction prescribed here, but if you know your elemental breaths, it's kind of that spreading motion. And then we, in the nose and out the mouth, naturally that breath descends, so it's a vertical motion on the descension. And then the next five are in the mouth, out the nose, which naturally rises, the verticality from that axis. And then in the mouth and out the mouth, expanding in all directions. But really the concentration is on the phrase. Okay? Shall we do it?
Mm-hmm.
I hear something. Is that somebody's phone vibrating?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Do you need to get it?
No.
Okay. So if you're comfortable standing, do it. If you prefer to sit, it's also okay. The instruction is usually given that eyes are closed. And again, Pura Mersha used the word prana, which means breath. And he frequently said to concentrate, and this is also classic Tibetan Buddhist transmission, to sort of feel the prana or see the prana as light. There's a connection between, again, light and vibration, and to see that as white light at the tip of the nose. But not too much instruction. What I really would rather you feel is your feet. Feel the body relaxed. Remember, he said, feet stable on the floor. And however that is for you, some people have a wider stance, some people stand closer together, it's okay. Nothing forced. But the shoulders are relaxed, the neck is relaxed, the jaw is relaxed. And we begin the first breath. And you'll do it at your own rhythm. Remember, he said it's done a bit slower and fuller. And it's in the nose and out the nose. And it's prescribed 5 times, but we'll do it a few times, and then we'll shift. And I will remind you when the next breath comes and what the direction is.
And the phrase.
The phrase is, and I'll just start you with the phrase. I'll say it a few times, and then I'll just let it go, and you continue on the breath. So breathing in the nose, I inhale divine light and life. And exhale, I radiate the same. Can everyone hear me? Okay. I inhale divine light and life. Out the nose, I radiate the same. Inhale. I inhale divine light and life. Exhale, I radiate the same. Me to say the phrase, just say phrase please if you lose it. Now allow the breath to transform to an inhalation through the nose, an exhalation through the mouth. And this is all very gently done, no forcing, just full and rhythmic, like you're before a vast ocean and the wave rolls in from the distance, it approaches the shore, and it moves back out. So everything, we shouldn't hear the breath. You should just let the breath flow through you in your nose and out your mouth. And we breathe in. I breathe in divine light and life, and breathe out through the mouth. I radiate the same. feel your skin breathing in, your cells dancing with that light. Feel infused with divine light and life. Yes, we're mechanical in this process, but at the same time, we're alive. In a dynamic relationship with this breath, the visualization, the phrase, feel it. Allow the breath to change. We breathe in the mouth. The breath rises out the nose. In the mouth and out the nose. And the phrase again is, I breathe in divine light and life. I radiate the same. Breath changes to the final breath, which is in the mouth and out the mouth. We feel it spreading and radiating in all directions, purifying and revivifying us and our soul. Breathing in the mouth, I inhale divine light and life, and breathing out, I radiate the same. Everything shining and radiating. Next, Murshid prescribes using the prayer, Niyaz, the healing prayer, we call it, Niyaz, and I will say the phrases, and you might want to do a small exhalation, and we breathe in. Beloved Lord, Almighty God, you don't say it, you just breathe in the words, and then you breathe out. Through the rays of the sun, and breathe in. Through the waves of the air, and breathe out. Through the all-pervading life in space,
breathe in, purify and revivify me. Hold your breath. And I pray, breathe out, heal my body, heart, and soul. Let's do it again. We'll do it two more times. Breathe in, breathing in and out the nose. Beloved Lord, Almighty God, through the way, no, I've lost my place, help me somebody.
Right.
Yes, I get so involved, sometimes I just lose my place, I'm so sorry. So we breathe in. Beloved Lord, Almighty God, out through the rays of the sun, in through the waves of the air, out through the all-pervading life and space, in purify and revivify me. Hold, and I pray, out, heal my body, heart, and soul. In, beloved Lord, Almighty God, out, the rays of the sun. In, the way of the air. Out, last practice that's given in the series by Pira Murshid. Some of you may have been at a camp. I remember Murshida Vira offering this practice. This is part of the sequence. And I'll do it, but it's done on the breath. I'll just say the words so you can see how it's done. But you have to imagine that anyone that knows it might say when one should be inhaling as I do this and say it. Inhale. I'm inhaling. Just watch me. I would be inhaling. I'm saying the words, but we were doing only on the breath. I come from the perfect source. I am bound to the perfect goal. The light of the perfect being is kindled in my soul. Exhale. I live, move, and have my being in God. And nothing of the past or present can touch me. I rise above all. Make sure you have room jiggy jog so you don't hit each other. Breathe in. I come from the perfect source, and I am bound to the perfect goal. Hold, the light of the perfect being is kindled in my soul. Allow the hands to descend as you exhale in a blessing. I live, move, and have my being in God, and nothing of the past or the present can touch me. I rise above all. Do it two more times. Yeah, I think it's prescribed to do three times. I can check. I come from the perfect source, and I am bound to the perfect goal. The light of the perfect being is kindled in my soul. Out, I live, move, and have my being in God. And nothing of the past or present can touch me. I rise above all. One more time, breathing in. I come from the perfect source, and I am bound to the perfect goal. Hold, the light of the perfect being is kindled in my soul. Out, I live, move, and have my being in God. and nothing of the past or present can touch me. I rise above all. Check into your breath. Be aware of your body.